Good evening, and I greet you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So what if you gain the whole world? What is it like if you literally own the whole world? You do not need to pay tax because everything is yours. You do not have to pay any bills. You can drive any car you like, you can fly in any airplane, you can live in any building, you can travel to any city, any country without a passport, because you own everything. Your life will be one of enjoyment after enjoyment after enjoyment. Do you want that kind of life, even if you can attain it? We know that a life of enjoyment and a vacation is only good when it is contrasted with a life of diligence and hard work and labor. For those who have retired, and those who have retired with a lot of money, where they can travel on holidays after holidays after holidays, just have a brief word with them and ask them to tell you what's it like. They retire at the age of 60, for example, and they have the next 30 years of their lives if they are to be taken out of this world at the age of 90. They have all the money in the world that they have worked harder to earn and gain and saved. Maybe the first couple of holidays where they travel around the world would be enjoyable. But then after that, when they come back home, what do they have to do to live for every day they wake up? Nothing. All right, so let's say they play their favorite sports, whatever that is. And then what? And then the next day. And then the next day. And then you have the next day for the next 30 years of your life. You travel some more, and then some more, and then some more. That may be a little taste of a life of a man who owns the whole world. You and I know that it's impossible to gain the whole world. According to the internet, based upon what they call the total liquefiable currency, the whole world is worth about 1.2 quadrillion. 1.2 quadrillion. That is 15 zeros. Six zeros is a million, nine zeros is a billion, and then after that, 15 zeros is quadrillion. I do not know what that number is like. 15 zeros, 1.2. So if you work hard enough, you own every single cent on earth. Anything that is liquefiable, you become the only quadrillionaire, if there's such a word. And you spend your whole life accomplishing it. It is good. It is a wonderful life. No doubt about that. To live in the best home that will give this body of yours the most comfortable life that you could ever dream or imagine. The most beautiful and luxurious everything. Dressing, food, housing, transportation, all the electronic gadgets that you could imagine and dream of, you have them all at your disposal, anytime yours to enjoy. It is a good life, a wonderful life, if there is no judgment or accountability. Verse 27 says that there is an accountability. An accountability to someone who called himself the Son of Man. This life of yours and mine is not a life whereby you live it to the best of your ability according to your heart's desire, where you eat, drink, and be merry, and indulge in all the lusts that your heart desires, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and then you fill yourself with the pride of life. Where everywhere you go, you have your picture, everyone knows your name. Everyone bow down to your name because you are the king of this world. If there is no accountability, I agree. Go for it. Spend every minute, every second of your life, regardless of how long you live. Get the biggest piece of this world that you could ever, ever gain by your ability. Go for it. But what if there is truly an accountability? An accountability where your life that you live on this earth will be measured. And you have to answer to the Son of Man, because the Bible says that he shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels. Now, this is a description of someone who is coming to judge. His angels would be his armies. In the name of his Father, that is God himself. He is called the Son of Man because he is also the Son of God, but his humanity is emphasized here, where God has given to him the authority based on something that he has done on this earth, where every human being will have to give an account to him at the end of his or her life, regardless of how long you live. And then he will measure it. And what will he do? The Bible says, then he shall reward every man according to his works. And the word works there is your life, your practical life, because the root word is where we get the English word practice. Something that you do repeatedly, something that you do whereby it becomes a pattern. That's what the word means. Your life and my life here will have to be required of us. That means you cannot live your life any way you like. This Son of Man who comes in the glory of God Almighty, who gave you and me life. And he will come and he will take your life and my life and he will weigh it. You live 90 years, he will weigh every minute of that 90 years. And he makes no mistakes. And then he will ask one simple question. How many minutes of that 90 years of your life on earth has been lived for God in a way that will bring glory to his holy name? And if it is zero, we will be rewarded accordingly. That means it is a life that means nothing to him, because not a single minute has been lived for God. Not possible. Not done so. It has been lived for mammon, for that mighty dollar, for that extra dollar that most of us don't even need, but we live for it anyway. We are motivated by it, constrained by it. It is in front of us all the time and we kept following after it. Day in and day out, the moment we wake up, we follow after that dollar sign. That's our motive. We gave our best. We spend the best years of our lives and our energy and every ounce of it in the pursuit of that extra dollar. It's not that we don't have. All of us in Singapore have already started saving because that's our system. Even as a student, many of us already have a bank account. And so that dollar continues to be pursued again and again and again. And God will simply ask us, how much of your 90 years, the time that I have given to you, have been spent with God in front of you, where you pursue after God, where you are motivated in your heart for the glory of God? How much? Your recreation time. How much of it? Your waking hours. And the Lord will measure and weigh. On this side, for self, for money. On this side, for God. How much? It's not how long we live. It's what we do on earth. It's going to be the measure. And he will reward every man accordingly. No mistakes. Your life, my life, each and every one of us will be measured by his standard, and then he will reward us. He will give us what we deserve, in other words. Those who have lived for God with God in front of them and they've been walking with God in front, following him, they will be rewarded. Welcome home into heaven, into my holy presence. For those who have been living for mammon, for money, to gain this whole world, you have nothing to offer before God. And God says, you will be rewarded accordingly. And hell awaits you, because you will now die in sin. You have done nothing that will glorify God, that will point anyone to God who gave you life. And now that your life is ended, the time of judgment is before you. If there is no final judgment, then by all means, gain as much of the world as your heart desires. But what if there is a judgment? Our life is a series of judgment, is it not? We don't like it. We try to avoid it. We try to get it out of our system, but we know we can't. You go to school. Is it not a series of judgment? We call them tests. We call them examinations. They are judgments to evaluate your ability to study, where you stand compared to your classmates, compared to your generation. And then after you finish your life of studies, you go to work. Is it not a series of judgment at the end of every year, whereby you will be promoted or not promoted, whereby you will have an increment or no increment? Is it not a series of judgments all your life? So what makes you and I think that there will be no final judgment by the Son of Man? There will always be. You break the law, there will be judgments. Everything you and I do on this earth, it is within a particular system where all of us will be judged. It is called law and order. No country exists without a system. Every country exists with a system. They function with a system, because if there is no system, no country will survive. Some may have a broken system. Some may have a dictatorship system, but it is still a system. We think that democracy is a good system, but within every system, there is still a judgment. Corrupt they may be, but still a judgment. So why do we think that when I pursue my life, when I waste a second, a minute of my life in the pursuit of the mighty dollar, I answer to no one? This life, my beginning and my end, has always been in the hand of God Himself. You and I need to admit that. And we all have to answer to Him one day, whether we like it or not. Just because we think that we do not need to answer to Him does not make it go away. That judgment is still waiting for all of us. And that's why the Lord tells us, He shall come in the glory of His Father. That is a description of His second coming. That is a description of Him coming as a judge to evaluate every human being's life. If you are holy when He returns, you will be holy unto eternity. If you are evil and wicked when He appears, you will be evil and wicked. And where do you think you will end up when you are wicked and evil in His holy sight? Heaven is a place where no evil and wickedness can exist. And so you cannot enter heaven. You can't. Heaven is not like this earth, where evil and holy people can coexist. If this heaven that you have in mind can have evil and people coexist together, then heaven is just like this evil, sin-filled world. And you and I know how terrible this world is like. Day in and day out, we are bombarded with a lot of bad news, a lot of criminal activities, a lot of evil people doing a lot of evil things. The more power they have, the more evil they perform, because they believe they can get away with it. They control the police, they control the military, and so they will do whatever is right in their evil heart. This is our world, and heaven is not like that. And God says, how can, after I evaluate your life, you spend your whole life following after the mighty dollar according to your heart's desire, how can I allow such a person who never spent a second following after me enter into heaven, where all they will do in heaven is to follow after me? You can't. So if there is no final judgment, by all means, pursue after the whole world and gain as much of it as possible. But what if there is? And the Lord has revealed to us that there is. But what if I want both heaven and the world together? Can I have both, heaven on earth and heaven in heaven? Verses 25 and 26 says, you can't. It is not possible. The final judgment, we all will have to answer. And right now on this earth, God says, it is a singular choice. It is not a double choice. You cannot have both. You have to make a choice. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, Jesus says, the Son of Man says, he shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? So that means these two verses reveal to us, you have to make a choice. You cannot follow God and the dollar at the same time. You cannot say, I follow God on Sunday and I follow the mighty dollar on Monday to Saturday. That kind of life, God says, is going to be measured, and it is a life of hypocrisy. It is inconsistent. God says, I cannot accept. That kind of following God only at your convenience, only on one day out of 7 days of the week, unacceptable. Unacceptable. Whosoever shall save his life, that means if you want to hold on to your life and run your own life, your own way, based upon your own standards and your own ideas and notions, you're going to lose it. And the word lose there means you're going to destroy it fully. We all know what that's like. We all have experienced a life that had already been lost. Part of it. I came to know Christ at the age of 22. So 22 years of my life had been lost, destroyed fully, because it will not come back to me. If you have come to know Christ at the age of 50, 50 years of your life had been lost, and that's the word lose in verse 25, destroyed fully. It's not going to come back to you. If you have still not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are still following the mighty dollar as your motive, you are running after the mighty dollar right in front of you and you're pursuing it. It turns left, you go left. It turns right, you go right. And you've been following it because every morning you wake up, this is your motivation. To get that mighty dollar, to get that promotion, to have more money. And if you have been doing that, and how old are you now? 20, 30, 40, 50, 60. That is the life that has already been lost. And it's not going to come back. That's what the first part of verse 25 says. Whosoever shall save his life, and you are saving your life by your own standard, living your life, you have already destroyed it. But whosoever shall destroy it fully for the Lord's sake, that means live it for the Lord's sake, spend it for the Lord's sake, you shall find it. You will never lose it. And this is what you have to choose tonight. For what is the man profited? What will you truly gain if you shall gain the whole world and lose your own soul? And the word lose there is not the same as verse 25, because the soul cannot be destroyed. The word lose in verse 25 speaks of destruction, full destruction. And that's our life that has been spent. Because it will never come back. It's gone forever. My 22 years of my life in the pursuit before my salvation, in the pursuit of the accolades of the world, in the pursuit of all things human, all things materialistic. It's gone. Destroyed fully. Never to return for all eternity. But your soul cannot be destroyed. And the Lord is very careful and precise in the use of certain words. And so he used the word lose in verse 26, a totally different word, which means you injure it. You hurt it. You cannot destroy a soul. A soul cannot be destroyed. That is the real you. Your soul will never die. There is no annihilation of the soul. The question is, where will you spend it? Where will you spend eternity? Because after this body dies, your soul continues to exist. And God says, you're going to hurt your own soul. How will you hurt your own soul? You spend eternity in hell where your soul, that is the real you, will continue to experience pain upon pain upon pain, because that's what hell is like, and ultimately the lake of fire, which will be perhaps even worse. A gnashing of teeth
enormous pain upon pain forever and ever and ever. That is the injury to your own soul that you're going to do to yourself if you will gain the whole world and run after the mighty dollar. And what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? So now the question is before you from Jesus himself. What are you prepared to give for your soul? Jesus says, I can save your soul. But what are you prepared to pay for it? 22 years of my life gone, I wish the Lord would have saved me earlier. Some of you are now believers at the teenage years. And I pray that is true in your heart, that you are truly born again at the age of 15, 16. And if some of you are even younger in primary school, better still. You have wasted fewer number of years than many of us. And if you are truly born again in Christ, you have exchanged it well. What exactly have you exchanged it for? Money? No. God says, I do not want your money. Salvation cannot be purchased or bought. You have nothing to offer me. It is simply a gift. A gift freely offered to everyone. That's what verse 24 says. It is a choice that you have to make. But it must be on the terms that the Son of Man has given to us. It is an alternative that you have to decide right now before your life ends. Whatever number of years that have been gone and wasted and lost, destroyed fully, because we have been living for self, for the mighty dollar, that part will never come back. But that does not mean that the remaining time that you have on earth is meaningless. It can still be very meaningful, whereby you have to make a right choice. You have to exchange it. Give up your own ability to be the captain of your own destination, your destiny, your own soul. Surrender your life completely to the Lord. That's what Jesus says in verse 24. If any man will come after me, if any man will follow behind me, Jesus says, where Jesus will now walk in front and you want to follow him. Before your salvation, the mighty dollar says, turn left, you follow left. Turn right, you follow right. Because that's where the dollar is. That's why people change jobs, going after the mighty dollar. The more money in this direction, the more money they head toward. But now the Lord says, you want to come after me? If any man will come after me, it is an act of your will, your decision. This is not the will for future tense. This is the word will means you make a decision now. You make a decision right here and now with whatever time you have left. For the rest of your life, not sporadically, for the rest of your life, continuously. Continuously, for the rest of your life. How much time you have left? Only the Son of Man knows. We do not know. But whatever time you have left, whether it is a day or a week or a month or a year, it does not matter. You can still make the right decision. Stop pursuing after the whole world. It will be a fool's goal waiting for you at the end, because the final judgment will be an evaluation of your life. The God who gave you life require you to live for him, and you have not been doing so because you can't. But now that you can, if you make the right decision by following after Jesus, first you have to deny yourself. That means you have to stop your own motivation. You have to give up your own personal ambitions. What you want to do with your life, put it aside now. All your plans and ideas for your own future, put it aside. No more. That's what it means by denying yourself. That means you cease to exist. What you want no longer exists. What your heart desires has now been put to death. No more. A total, complete surrender before God, completely naked. No claim of any good works. A complete sinner before God. in total, genuine, sincere acknowledgement that I cannot save myself, God. I am in serious trouble. I have been living my own life all this time and I have wasted it and I have messed it up and I've been pursuing the mighty dollar and every minute I spend in that direction, it is a life that I am destroying. And I don't want to destroy any more minute of my life here on earth. Help me. Help me, O God. And as long as I'm in sin, I cannot help myself but to pursue after the mighty dollar. And no matter what you and I might have done, no matter how you may have tried to change direction, every time you change direction, it is still heading toward hell. It's either living for money or living for a particular cause or living for mom or dad or for myself or for my children. They are all heading toward hell because none of them is God. My family, they are not gods. My mother, my father, they are not gods. They didn't create me. They didn't give me life. God did. And I cannot live for anyone or anything but God. And I can't because I'm a sinner through and through. And that's why we have to begin by denying myself, which means we are nobodies before God. Put aside all your titles. Put aside all your so-called man-centered accomplishments. And come before the Lord as a bankrupt, beggarly spirit individual. Nothing. A crouching, dark corner, beggar, shameful, and come before God and pleading for mercy. That's what it means by denying self. Denying self before God, not denying self in pretense to gain something, but to gain nothing, but to beg God for mercy, pleading to Him to save us, to save us. That's what it means. That's the choice you have to make. The present alternative. As long as there is still some time on earth in front of you that can be spent following God, your life can still be meaningful. What is gone is gone. But don't waste anymore. And this is the term that the Son of Man has set for every one of us without exception. If any man, doesn't matter who you are, how great your sins are, you are welcome. But it has to begin with a denial of self. I am a nobody. Just like a child born into this world, having no accomplishment, having nothing to his name, a nobody. You reduce yourself to the state and condition, and you humbly bow down, prostrate before God Almighty. And then you sincerely accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, because He alone has died on the cross for your sins to take away the sins that you have committed against God. That's why He is described here as the Son of Man, because of what He has done on the cross of Calvary. God could very well have described Him as the Son of God. If He's the Son of God, it will be His creatorship that will be the focus. But He is described here as the Son of Man. He came to make the way possible for your life to be lived for God. As long as it is a life characterized by sin, without Christ, it can never be lived for God. But a life that is lived in Christ, a life that has truly, sincerely received Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior, with all your heart, you have confessed with your lips and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins to wash away all your sins, to take away all your sins. God says you will not be ashamed. You will not be disappointed. You will experience salvation so rich and so free. And the burden that once upon a weighs in your heart, the weight of sin that used to be so heavy on your shoulder and on your life has suddenly disappeared and evaporated, taken away. And you feel so lighthearted, you feel as if you're walking on air. And you feel that you know that you are now forgiven by God, your Creator, because of Jesus Christ who died for you. You were crucified with Him. You identified yourself with Him. When He died, you died. When He suffered, you feel the shame and the pain together with Christ for the sins that you have committed. And then when God raised Him from the dead, you felt the resurrection. You felt the new life that now pours and calls through your entire body. And then, whatever the life that you now live, you just simply kneel down and ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to do with this life? That is the cross. You are now able to take up His cross, the cross that the Lord has designed for you, whatever the life is now. Your motive to be the millionaire before you turn 30, no longer. You desire to be the next CEO of your multi-billion dollar company, no longer there. Everything just simply evaporated. How is that possible? Because that has been your consuming obsession since the day you graduated from university, to be in charge of a multi-billion dollar company, whereby your name is known all over the world, whereby fame and fortune has been your singular obsession and pursuit. But now suddenly all these disappear, gone. It's just simply gone. And now all you want to do is, Lord, this life that you have redeemed by the precious blood of Christ is no longer my own to live. And then you pray a very simple prayer, Lord, take my life. Do whatever you want best for your glory. Because now you have Jesus in front of you. And now you're going to follow him because that's what has happened. You come after him. You have done so, desire to do so, and it's now a reality. And it is called a cross. It's a cross that is not made of steel, whereby the life that you are going to live is going to crush you. The cross is not going to be covered with silk, whereby it is going to be a life of luxury, whereby you can be carnal and God is happy. It is simply made of wood. And the Lord Jesus Christ has carried it. And he says that you will never carry it alone. I will be with you. And this is the life of a Christian, whereby he will now live a life that is in accordance to God's holy word. Wherever God will send him, he will go happily, because he knows that the best place and the safest place is where the Lord Jesus Christ wanted him to be. You ever heard of the testimony of some of these pastors in Afghanistan? When America invaded Afghanistan after 9/11, many Americans fled and returned home. And then they interviewed some of these pastors who remained behind. He says that we can't leave. Our place is here with our congregation. And we will be here. And where we are, where God wants us to be, will be the safest place on earth for us. Because my life is now in God's hands. And if it is in Afghanistan where the Lord wants me to end my life in service, so be it. It's either end my life in Afghanistan in service or go back home in America and end my life. And if I were to leave where God wants me to be in Afghanistan, it may be a dangerous place from man's perspective, but it is the safest place always from God's perspective, and it must also be from the believer's perspective. This is the cross. Everywhere we go on earth, the safest place is where the Lord wants you to be. For the Apostle Paul, it was to spend the last few years of his life in prison in Rome. Safest and the best place for him. And for many of God's servants during the time of the Dark Ages, many of them spend their time in prison. Innumerable spend their final moments crucified on the cross before they died. And then the wicked Romans will use them and light them at night as lampposts to show the way from point A to point B. And that's how many of them perish, because of the faith that they have in Christ. They follow. This was the cross. And for them, those who were crucified like Christ in the time of the Romans, it was a literal cross. But for us, your life and my life is like that of a cross, and the cross is always an emblem of suffering. Sure, today we have turned the emblem of the cross into a very, very beautiful, distinguished status symbol. It is made of platinum. It is made of gold, and some of them are even filled with diamonds and precious stones. We beautify it. And because of that, we have forgotten that the cross has always been an emblem of suffering for Christ. But today is no longer that. And that is why it is so important and needful for us to have our eyes opened. If your life is still in the pursuit of carnality and at the same time you call yourself a Christian, Jesus says it is a singular choice. You cannot choose both. No man can love God and mammon. Either you love God and hate mammon, you hold on to God and despise mammon, or you hold on to mammon and despise God. No man can love both, God and mammon. Impossible. That God does not exist that allow you to choose to have heaven on earth and heaven in heaven. If the love of the world is in your heart, the love of God is not in your heart. If the love of God is in your heart, the love of the world is not in your heart. You cannot have the love of God and the love of the world in one heart. Impossible. And that is why it is a singular choice. As long as you are still breathing, you are presented with this alternative by the Son of Man before the day of judgment. And his term of following after him is not negotiable. To begin, you have to deny yourself. And then after you deny yourself, your life will be completely surrendered, and it will be evidenced by your complete, total devotion to the cross that he has now given to you. And then he says, then you follow me. You walk in my footsteps. Today, many of us want to follow the Lord and follow the world at the same time. This brand of Christianity is the lie of the devil. The devil is the one today who has really gained the whole world. Do you know that? You want to take it from the devil? You can't. He's not going to give it to you. Oh, he will dangle it in front of you all the days of your life until you drop dead and die. And then he will laugh at you, because when you drop dead and die in your sin, he knows that you are going toward the lake of fire and you will join him there for eternity. The devil is the god of this world. When Adam sinned against God in the day of the Garden of Eden, not only did he sin and die instantaneously, spiritually speaking, he also surrendered the dominion that God gave to him. That's why the Bible says the god of this world has blinded the minds of those who do not believe in the gospel, whereby they cannot see. That is why when the Lord Jesus Christ was tempted by the devil in Matthew chapter 4, he offered the Lord Jesus Christ the kingdoms of the world, and all you need would be to bow down to me and I will give everything to you. You think that offer was not genuine? It was. He has the ability. And that's why he will want the sinners to think that you too can also gain the whole world, because he owns it. You think he's going to give it to you? You think the devil is going to give you the whole world where he controls everything and everyone? He's not going to give it to you. He's lying to you. He wants you to waste your life. And as long as you save it, as long as you still want to run your life your way, you are destroying it fully and it will not come back to you. And so the Lord says to you tonight, stop. Hand your life over to me. Surrender your life over to me. Give it to me, Jesus says, and I will save it for you, whereby you will be completely transformed and changed from a sinner to a child of God, from a sinner to a holy person, a saint, instantaneously. And you will feel it, you will know it within your heart, because your mind will be changed, your heart will be transformed. You can't help it, because the Spirit of God who dwells in you the moment you are born again in Christ will do all the marvelous work in your life, whereby what Jesus described here, a person who is truly born again would experience self-denial. A person who is truly born again would have experienced taking up the cross, the life that Jesus has for him to live. And he will live cheerfully and happily even in the face of persecution, even in the face of the world hating him. He will continue to live for the Savior, and he will not flinch, and he will not turn away. And he will continue to rejoice in his soul, in his heart, and give thanks, because he knows that this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning him. All the days of his life, he will now follow after the Savior until he stands before the Son of Man. And then the Lord will evaluate his life, and the Lord will say to him, "Well done. Welcome home, my good and faithful servant. You have lived well. You have followed after me well, because you have been living a life according to Holy Scriptures, and you are doing it to the praise and glory of the God who has created you. And you have lived for him. What life has been wasted will not come back. But what life that remains, you live for Christ. That's what God asks. That's what God wants. And that's what God wants for you. Do you want that for yourself?" Let us pray. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank you, O God, for this life. For we know that this is the life that we must live in this earthen vessel before we can enter into a life of eternity in heaven, in glory. Help us, each and every one of us, O Lord, to make sure of our salvation, that what is in front of us, that we are motivated by and living for, is not self, mammon, or anything that is of this earth, but it is indeed and truly our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have done so, and we have already begun walking in this journey by first denying ourselves, surrendering our entire life to the Lord. And we have taken up the cross, the life that he has set for us. And now we continue to follow in his footstep. Right in front of our eyes is our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, because it is a life that is lived in accordance to thy holy and precious word of life. May this be the life of every worshiper this evening, so that at the end of our life on this earth, we will know that when we stand before the Son of Man on the day of judgment, he will reward every one of us accordingly by what we have done in this life. And we pray, O God, that all of us will be welcomed home by thee on the day of judgment. This life will be pleasing and acceptable in thy sight. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for thy glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.